Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Skip Intro. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Bahi Yusuf, as well as Julian Yap. I am very excited because today we are talking about the ongoing adventures of one Selina Meyer.
I'm not sure about this part where I say I want to be president for all Americans. I mean, do I? You know, all of them?
How about real Americans?
Oh, yeah, that's good. Okay. And then we can figure out what I mean later. Really, face-to-face, I can convince anyone of anything.
That's not true.
Incorrect.
You're both wrong.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
This entire country is getting more disgusting by the second.
That's a demo we're targeting mostly on Facebook.
I was the game changer. I took a dump on the glass ceiling.
Do you want to read that back?
Oh, we can't use any of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like I'm shouting from a balcony in Munich.
Like a Vita.
That's right. We're welcoming back the seventh and final season of Veep, the story of one woman's journey to be vice president, then vice president, then nothing. We've watched the first three episodes of the new season. So we're here to just kind of give you a little bit of a hint, a teaser, and to talk about why we love it so much. So, guys, what do you think?
I mean, it's a throwback to form, right? I had completely forgotten that we didn't have a season of Veep last year because season six was in 2017, and so now they took a year off because Julia Louis-Dreyfus was going through breast cancer.
That's right,
treatment. Yeah. And now it's back. It just feels like it never went away. Everybody's just as disgusting and insulting as always, and I love it.
Honestly, I missed it. So I did notice the time that it was away because I was just waiting. I missed their company, which is a very weird thing to say.
You really need better friends.
I know.
If you miss these guys around you.
I know. Okay, so in case you've not seen Veep and you've been thinking about it because it's so critically acclaimed, it's won so many awards. And sometimes I think with shows like that, you do start to wonder whether or not it's worth the hype, right? Whether or not it's been built up too much. In this case, it really is. You're watching kind of, I think it's the most comedically dense show on television. Every frame is packed with like gajillions of jokes. It's incredibly dark. It is deeply offensive. They are awful characters, but it's just so funny.
This is such a great way to sell this show.
I honestly, if that excites you, you will like Veep. That's just kind of how it is.
Like, I hadn't watched it prior to watching these three episodes because even though I love everything Armando Iannucci has done in the past, I just never got around to it. And I decided to watch it for this. I binged it in 2 days. It was incredible. I had to take a breather because my outlook on life was getting a bit terrible. But I loved it. I loved the entire thing. And I'm super glad that I had to watch it, but I'm glad that I had to.
Yeah, there's something about Veep that really colors you as a person, I guess. You know, if you just walk around saying, you know what, my favorite show is Veep, you probably have some issues that you need to work out. However, I think there's something about the writing of Armando Iannucci's insults specifically, right?
Yes.
It's creative, colorful, disgusting, vulgar, and yet hilarious at the same time.
And it's also really character specific. I
think
as an actor on Veep, you'd have to have a very strong sense of self because everything is up for grabs.
Yes.
You know, just your appearance, who you are, how you present. And for me, the reason why I say my favorite show is, one of my favorite shows is Veep, aside from the fact that apparently I'm ill and need help, is also the fact that you are watching characters, I think, really just at the top of their game. These are actors who fully and totally inhabit these really awful people and manage to make it make sense. So there's a guy named Jonah Ryan, right? So in case you've not seen it, Jonah is just awful. Like, he's the most awful of all of them. He consistently says the wrong thing perpetually. He doesn't know why.
He's probably the slimiest guy you'll ever see on TV. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And yet somehow he makes sense as a character. You know, when he says the things that he says, which are usually just completely insane and off base, they come from a place where you know Jonah, and therefore you're like, yeah, that's a thing that Jonah would say.
That sounds about right, yeah.
He's every single money-grabbing, ladder-climbing, terrible guy that you've ever met. squished into one, and he's in the White House, and you should be worried.
Yeah, at one point, I think it was, I can't remember which season it was, I think Selena Meyer refers to him as a human scaffolding. You just go like, yeah, because he's really tall, and I'm like, yeah, human scaffolding, I get that, yeah. And I think as disgusting and vile as Jonah is, he doesn't come off as, what's the word I'm looking for?
As a caricature?
Yeah, but also a lot of the things he says comes off almost naive, I think, or in some ways innocent. He's saying these really awful, disgusting things, misogynistic,
homophobic,
sexistic, any bad ick you can come up with, he's done it and said it. But it's almost as if he says it in such a way where you're less likely want to beat him up and just go, yeah, that's Jonah.
That's Jonah. That's how it is. And where we are right now in season 7, it is really like there was no break at all. It's picked up exactly where you left it off. The same kinds of mistakes that you would expect from the Meyer campaign are still being done. The same weaknesses that she has as a candidate, i.e. she has no stand whatsoever except a blind desire for power. All those things are still part of it. So it also manages to hit, I think, that classic sitcom thing of, yeah, and we're back. You know, these are the characters that you know. These are the situations that you're comfortable with, which is what you want, I think, in a television show.
Yeah, it's... You know, it's 30 minutes of just hilarious comfort food. You know, in a sense that you don't really want to be super challenged. You don't really want to overthink things. You just sit there and go, man, these guys are awful, and being completely insulting to each other, and it's hilarious.
Which is insane because it's a political satire. Yeah. It's low, chill, terrible, political, fun stuff.
I would say that it's comfort food if your comfort food is something like tom yum. You know, if you like your comfort food somewhat spicy, somewhat sour, somewhat strongly flavored, okay, then this is your comfort food. Because we're not talking about Friends.
Yeah, we're not. I mean, these guys are, just vile, vile humans. But again, we're not... It's not like House of Cards vile, disgusting.
No.
This is just, they're like you said earlier, Serena Meyer just is power hungry and power grabbing. And, you know, when she, in this particular season, she was asked a very basic question that's asked of all, you know, presidential candidates. And she just turns to someone and goes, write me an answer. You know, it's like, I don't care why, I don't care how, I just want to be president.
So I have a question for you guys. As things started progressing, you know, in from seasons, let's say 4 onwards, when Veep started to catch up with what was actually happening in the United States, you know, when Veep started to really correlate very closely with the Trump campaign, with the Trump administration, did you start to feel like you needed a break from Veep, or did Veep still represent a break from reality? Because what's happening right now, I guess, in season 7 is that you have this woman who has shown time and time again how ill prepared she is to be the president of the United States running again. And so I don't know why it continues to please me when the whole world is a bit of a dumpster fire, but it does. And I was just curious if you guys felt the same way.
I don't think I'd say that I need a break from TV politics, real politics. I think it made it even better when it started to reflect real politics, because you could see Sarah Huckabee Sanders in Mike, and you could see Mike Pence in, I guess, Doyle?
Yeah.
You could see these characters and their real-life counterparts, and it made it even better. I did wonder at some point if Trump maybe just watched a lot of Veep and decided that he wanted to be president.
Yeah.
Because there are a few things that I think they maybe predicted in seasons 1 and 2 that did actually happen.
Yeah.
So it didn't make me want to. It made me want to find out more.
I mean, I think for me, it's also quite interesting in the fact that all the characters in the Selena Meyer Veep universe just sort of makes you think of this swamp that President Trump refers to, right?
Yes.
These guys who are just there to just be there. They're not really there to do work. They're not really there to fix anything. They're just there to have the title and move up the ladder.
And these are swamp dwellers if there ever were.
If there ever were swamp dwellers, these are the guys. And I think in some ways, as funny and as revolting as these people are, this is probably a lot more realistic in terms of politics and the portrayal of the people in politics than, say, something like The West Wing or House of Cards.
You know?
I mean, aside from the colorful insult, this is probably what...
It is as gross and as slimy as you expect it to be.
Yeah.
And as mundane. I think that the stupidity and the mistakes that happen are so mundane. They're not done by people who have these grand plans. More often than not, it's a slip of the tongue.
Yeah.
And the press were there and that's that.
Yeah.
It's just so good. If you haven't watched Veep, or you have and it's one of your favorite shows, join us. Join us in the swamp. Let us know how you feel. You can find us on Skip Intro MY on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Talk to us about Veep. I'm always wanting to talk to more people about that show. And the new season, season 7, will be premiering next Monday, the 1st of April, 11:30 on HBO. So you can also catch up with all the doings then. Up next, we're going to be talking about our favourite other moments of political satire here on Skip Intro, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments, BFM 89.9.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Skip Intro. I'm Lynn. In the studio with me today, Bahe and Julian. Earlier, we reviewed Veep, or rather the first three episodes of the final season of Veep, season 7. If you know what, there's so much to look forward to. It is excellent. But we thought it would be a good jumping off point to talk about other moments of political satire in movies, in TV. What have you guys got?
I mean, I think the first easy one to go with to relate to Veep would probably be Armando Iannucci's other works, like, you know, The Thick of It, which is a British satire, you know, dark comedy series. Very much in the vein of Veep, but less ha-ha funny. The insults are just deeper cuts. I think the insults of the British language and the British comedy is just a lot harder hitting than, say, the ones on Veep. I think if you want to go back, I think check out In the Thick of It. I think In the Loops, also from an Armando Iannucci, sort of like the same universe, but there's like an American spin-off kind of version type thing, which is also funny as all heck.
He did not say unforeseeable. You may have heard him say that, but he did not say that, and that is a fact.
I apologise for Malcolm.
Don't apologise for me. Apologise for yourself.
Is war unforeseeable, Minister?
To walk the road of peace, sometimes we need to be ready to climb the mountain of conflict.
Climb the mountain of conflict? You sound like Nazi Julie Andrews.
I don't want to back a war.
What?
What?
You're an idiot.
I think what those two shows really give you is this idea that everybody in this political sphere, or this particular political brain of Armando Iannucci, is that they're all just there for all the wrong reasons.
Mm.
They're the guys you really don't want to be president, or, you know, prime minister, or in the House of Lords, or House of Commons, or in Senate, whatever. Just these people should not be given power, let alone the mayor of a small town. These people are just there for their own gain, really. And it's just scary and wrong, but funny as all heck.
In that same vein, the movie that I was thinking about, and also a work of Armando Iannucci, of course, is The Death of Stalin.
I haven't gotten around to seeing that yet.
Have you seen that, Julian?
I love The Death of Stalin.
Yeah.
It's a weird one that, same as Veep, that you just watch when you're feeling a bit down because you want to see Stalin dead and Khrushchev and Gorbachev all just laughing over his dead body, trying to see who is going to be the next leader of Russia.
Propose we call a doctor.
No, I can't. All the best doctors are dead.
I can't remember who's alive and who isn't.
It's Comrade Stalin.
We need to start putting together a plan.
How can you run and plot at the same time?
What are you doing to my father, you jackals? How old are you?
I'm old.
You're not old! You're not even a person!
I want to make a speech at my father's funeral.
No problem.
Technically, yes, but practically...
When I said no problem, what I meant was no problem.
I think the beauty of The Death of Stalin is that it is very, very, very funny and very, very, very dark. And I think that that's the line that Armando Iannucci does really well. It treads that line, right, of simultaneously being incredibly disturbing, but also being very, very funny. And I think he does it because he's so smart.
I don't know. I don't know if it treads that line, to be honest. I think he crosses over it, but just not by too much that it becomes revolting, you know. He crosses it just enough to make you like recoil but still laugh at the same time.
And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that you're witnessing a very, very intelligent filmmaker and a very, very intelligent writer. So it's so sharp and incisive that you don't even notice you've been stabbed till he's walked away and you're like, oh, this that was great.
I think it was Hasan Minhaj who actually said the comedy that he doesn't want to poke fun at the people who are voting for the politicians. He makes sure to poke fun at the people who are making these decisions, the ones actually in power and don't know what to do with that power. And Armando Iannucci does that because, you know, no politician, no person in that show, in all these shows, none of them are exempt. Everyone has that thing, and he's not afraid to pull.
He's not afraid to go for those.
He's not afraid to go for the jugular all the time.
And I think in some ways you have to be, like, I think something you said earlier, Lynn, is that as actors, you have to also be quite comfortable in that position because, you know, his writing's painful, you know, if, you know, he's going to go after your weight, your age, your height, your lack of height, your, you know, your gender, your sexuality, he's going to go after everything. I mean, or rather, that's the world he set up for you. And you have to be able to take those hits because you know he will also write zingers for you to give to someone else.
Yeah.
So it's really just poetry. It's, these insults are poetry, you know. I can't remember his first name, Tucker from
Malcolm Tucker.
Malcolm Tucker's insults are poetry. It's William Shakespeare at its best. It's a great use of language and color, and the way his insults are not 3-word insults. His insults are prose.
They're
massive paragraphs insulting you, grandmother, grandfather, future children, you know, and future children's children. He'll just insult everybody under the sun.
And just having them said in an angry Scottish voice is even better.
It's even better. Just doubles down on anger.
Which is to say that these shows are not for everybody. We should say that up front. If rough language is a problem for you, if you know you don't necessarily like kind of dwelling with people that are deeply unpleasant at the best of times, then these shows are not for you. But I do think that generally speaking, I have never not enjoyed a half hour I've spent in their company.
And I think in a lot of ways, it doesn't come off as, you know, this is a weird thing to say. It doesn't come off as mean.
No.
You know, it doesn't come off as mean to the audience. It's mean to the characters in the world. And it's fine because they're all disgusting, vile human beings. So they're mean, they're insulting to each other. But you as the audience, you're watching it going, that's just funny. You're not getting, I don't know, maybe it's not hitting me or any of my buttons, but you don't feel any collateral damage as an audience member.
You don't feel attacked.
You don't feel attacked. Yeah. They're attacking each other and it's great.
That's how great those personal jibes are, because they're maybe specific to that actor, but it does take into account how terrible they are as politicians.
Yeah.
You don't feel that as a viewer because you're just going to... Because as a viewer in real life, you're just laughing at what these politicians are doing. Politics is gross and slimy and dirty, and we are just watching it happen because we can't do anything about it, and it's the exact same thing. They just put it on a screen.
That's the thing. I do find that this sort of look behind the scenes, I mean, it's a fictional look. Hopefully it's a fictional look, because if this is a real look,
let's
then...
see. Yeah, we don't
like
know how fictional
believe, it. I like to believe it is
there's
actually
some,
like this.
There's some likelihood there.
But I think because it offers that look behind the scenes in a world that seems to be sometimes so far away from making sense, for me, this form of comedy, this form of particular satirical comedy, actually offers a form of catharsis. You know, I think when you're dealing with things that are just so beyond your reckoning, it's like, how on earth would you say that? And then you see someone like Selina Meyer making an aside and you're like, oh, so that's how
that's how it's done. That's how it's done, yeah.
It helps the processing. So there's that. So basically, when I said we were going to be talking about political satire in the second half, really, we're just going on about Armando Iannucci.
Yeah, and his sort of universe of work. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. If you enjoy it, let us know what you think. If you haven't, do seek it out. It is a lot of fun. And again, you can watch the new season of Veep next Monday, 1st of April, 11:30 on HBO. And once you have, come and let us know what you think on Skip Intro MY on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'll be back tomorrow, BFM 89.9.